KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
Sunny and breezy, the high in the mid-40s.
I want a Sunday kind of love.
Just my heart is exploding with pride for the city and all the people who worked so hard to put this party on for us.
I couldn't be more honored to be a part of it.
It's amazing.
I feel so lucky.
It's amazing.
I want a Sunday kind of love.
Our family's pretty weird because we have two moms and two dads, which is pretty awesome, but they're not like divorced and stuff. It's just like lesbians and gays.
Sunday kind of love for hundreds of people in Washington State yesterday. That was Zoe Swartz, Ireland. Her mom's got married yesterday. Her dad's wedding's coming up later this year. The Swartz Ireland family is going to be with us. Also heard from two men who got married. Speaking to KUOW's Liz Jones, this is Weekday on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman in for Steve Sharon. City Hall was transformed into the Chapel of Love in Seattle. And reporter Liz Jones, who's been covering this story for what seems like months and months, Liz, you were there and set the scene for us.
Well, it was just an exciting day. People were elated to be there at the city and to be sharing this historic moment all together. People who have fought for equal rights for so long to have this culmination of this day. It was people getting married, about 140 couples there to get married with their friends, their family there as part of their wedding party. We also had judges performing the ceremonies. We had city officials there greeting them. The mayor was there shaking everyone's hands as they were finishing their ceremonies, and a huge public reception outside City Hall. The grand staircase was lined with people up and down the stairs with holding signs, throwing rice, giving them flowers. It was just really an all-day wedding celebration.
Well, we have a couple of pieces of audio from your work there. And these are folks, a question I had, why get married yesterday?
Well, it has a lot to do with the history of it, but it's also that, you know, when we were married in 2004, this was sort of the missing piece of, you know, that whole day, really. So the urgency that everyone else feels for us is a sort of a lateness, and so we're just trying to get in as soon as we can and to be a part of, you know, a community coming together and celebrating it.
And really just to be here to, you know, be with all of these other loving couples. Who wouldn't want that on their wedding day? You know, there's so much joy and so much happiness in this room, and, you know, the mood is just lifted. You could just feel the emotion, and who wouldn't want to be a part of that on their wedding day?
Well, emotion, Liz, you mentioned it was incredibly emotional, and some people were surprised by that.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of tears, as you can imagine yesterday. If you tend to cry at weddings, this probably was not the place for you because people were crying everywhere. And I heard from so many couples who expected just to come in yesterday, and this was kind of going to be a formality. You know, they've already been married. They've been together for years, decades, many of them, and just thought, you know, today was just another check on the box. But they were sort of overwhelmed by their own emotions and surprised by that.
More than I anticipated. I thought we would swing by, sign some papers, you know, check the last box on the list, and then go out for lunch. But to go through the motions on an official state-supported level brought out a lot of emotion in me, and it's a big impact. There's still a lot of tears in me.
And thankfully, we never have to do this again.
One of the couples that got married at Seattle City Hall yesterday. We're curious if you got married yesterday. What was the most memorable moment? You can email us at weekday@kuow.org or call 206-543-KUOW. So judges, Liz, were performing these wedding ceremonies. I was curious, is there a big cake in the middle? Everyone got cake?
Well, they had City Hall, the lobby of City Hall, separated into five different areas.
Wow.
And artists had worked on setting backdrops for each of these little wedding chapels. So it was really beautiful. And they were far enough away where you'd feel a little bit of privacy at each ceremony. But they were all going on simultaneously. So five at a time, back to back, all day long. This was 140 ceremonies that the city pulled off yesterday, and local judges were performing the ceremonies. And some of them, I heard some of the judges, it was their first weddings that they'd performed.
Really?
So it was a big deal for them, too.
Wow.
One of the judges told me that they'd been up all night working on the vows for these couples, and the couples felt like they were just perfect, that they really nailed the sentiment of the day.
Well, I have to say, Seattle City Hall was only one of the locations. There were weddings happening in churches, in living rooms, in restaurants, all over the state of Washington.
Well, that was another thing I kept hearing from these couples, that it wasn't just their wedding today. So many of their friends were getting married, too. They were hanging out at City Hall for a good part of the day because they had other friends later on in the day getting married, or they had friends across town getting married at a church, or on the east side getting married at a hotel. So it was a kind of, you know, citywide, statewide celebration, I think, of marriage equality.
I guess we'll never think about June brides again. It's going to be December grooms and brides.
A lot of competition, I think, for wedding venues, wedding caterers, all that kind of thing coming up.
Well, sometimes it's really nice to have a happy story. Liz Jones, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marcy.
And again, if you got married yesterday, we'd love to hear your story. You can email us weekday at KUOW.org or 206-543-5869.
Good morning, it's 9:10. You're tuned to 94.9 KUOW Seattle, news and information. I'm Andy Hurst. We have cloudy skies and 44 degrees in the U District. We're expecting clouds all day, the high getting up to 47. Same for tonight, the low in the low 40s, cloudy, rainy, and breezy tomorrow, the high near 46.
Support for KUOW comes from At a Glance Wallmates, a new line of self-adhesive dry erase planning products for the home and office. More information at ataglance.com.
Well, you remember the famous man who had to fall to rise again. So pick yourself up and dust yourself off and start all over again, Mr. Martin.
Dust yourself off. Next time on The Takeaway, a look at places in America where the recession is in the rear view. I say recession, you say what?
I say coming out of it.
The mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee, next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
That story and much more this afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Hundreds of same-sex couples got married yesterday, as you heard, and many people had waited for a long time for the right to say, I do. Among the newlyweds were Kia and Michelle Swartz, Ireland. They've been together for more than 20 years. They have two children, 14-year-old Tova and Zoe, who's 11, and the entire family is here today. Thank you so much. Shouldn't you be on a honeymoon?
This is it.
This is your honeymoon. Well, that's awesome. I guess before we start talking about things, we've got, because always there's intrepid reporters, you have a cousin who's an intrepid reporter. So we're going to hear some clips from your wedding. And before the actual ceremony itself, the judge at City Hall went over some of the nitty-gritty details with you.
And how would you like to be known to each other?
Spouses.
Spouses.
Wives.
Lovely.
Wives. Not husbands.
Okay. Not husbands. Yeah, that seems
so
fair.
You now declare us wives, not wife and wife.
Right? Okay.
Right? Is that okay with you? You want to be a wife and a wife? Or just wives?
I'm really fine with anything at
we
this
haven't
point.
Really talked about this.
That's okay. You know what? No one has.
Well, I understand from reporter Liz Jones that a lot of these judges were performing their very first weddings yesterday. I'm not sure if that was true of your judge.
Well, we don't know.
It was well. But you two have been together for such a long time. How long had you actually been planning to get married?
Well, we got married once in Portland, but that only lasted about 6 weeks, and then we got our check back in the mail. And but it was nice because we had our little girls with us at the time, and now they're big girls. So, you know, when we've been together about a year and a half, we bought our first house together, and on our third date, I said, Michelle, I'm having children. Are you? So, you know, she wanted to jump ship. That would have been the day. So,
that was a long time ago, Michelle. You didn't jump ship.
No, I figured, who am I to deny her her dream? So, I was on board for that.
How did marriage play into it? You got married once. That was You know, the law was overturned. I'm assuming that's why the check came back in the mail. Were you gung-ho then for yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you, we thought hyphenating our names was as good as it would ever get, you know, and we wanted to have the same names as our children, so all four of us would have the same name. And we thought that's as good as it would get, honestly. So yesterday...
Because we're old lesbians.
Not that old.
Way that old.
So we were not really, like, planning our wedding every month, every year. And this all just sort of... Honestly, I didn't think the law was going to pass.
Even up to this fall?
Yeah. Oh. I didn't trust that it was going to pass.
It hasn't passed really anywhere else. Not in California, for heaven's sake. So why would it pass here?
You know, once you run and bang your head against the wall 4, 5, 10 times... You just think the 11th time, nothing's going to change. So we weren't really prepared.
So on election night, when you finally saw that that referendum 74 was going to pass, did you start planning the wedding the next day?
No, we were just happy that Romney didn't win.
Nothing about weddings.
Yeah.
that was the politics. But now we're talking about love. Okay. And so I'm going to go back to the wedding ceremony yesterday. We heard the judge, your wives, you're not husbands. And here is the big moment. Not everybody has this on tape. This is Kia and Michelle Swartz-Ireland exchanging vows.
Okay, Kia, you'll start first.
Okay.
So repeat after me. Michelle?
Michelle.
I take you to be my lawfully wedded wife.
I take you to be my lawfully wedded wife.
Before these witnesses, I vow to love you and care for you.
Before these witnesses, I vow to love you and care for you. I take you.
With all your faults and strengths.
With all of your faults and your strengths.
As I offer myself to you.
As I offer myself to you.
With all my faults and strengths.
With all my faults and strengths.
I take you to be my wife.
I take you to be my wife.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
Kia, I take you to be my lawfully wedded wife.
Kia, I take you to be my lawfully wedded wife.
I will help you when you need help.
I will help you when you need help.
And turn to you when I need help.
And turn to you when I need help.
I take you to be my wife.
I take you to be my wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For richer or for poorer.
For richer. Or poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish as long as we both shall live.
To love and to cherish as long as we both shall live.
Mazel tov.
Do you guys have rings?
We've had them on so long they can't come off, really.
We're going to use this one again.
Then I now pronounce you wives.
Yay!
Wow, we don't often get to hear a wedding live. We're almost live, virtually live on the air. That was Michelle and Kia Swartz-Ireland exchanging vows. And Zoe and Tova, I'm assuming you two were the witnesses at the wedding among the many.
Yeah.
So what was that like?
Well, it wasn't really any different from anyone else, but we went over there and we got to sign the papers and along with our little brother and our dad and cousin Sarah. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool that, like, we're legally their witnesses. And so,
there's quotation marks with fingers there.
Well, you tell them about your brother, because...
Oh, yeah. Well, we have an adopted brother from Tennessee that usually lives with our dads, but he's at the wedding, and he's 8 years old and really... wild, and he was just really happy, but he just kept cracking up during the whole wedding because he thought the whole thing was just so funny.
Well, you mentioned your dads, so you don't just have moms, you have dads. And did your dads get married yesterday?
No.
Are they going to?
Yeah, in June, so they have 9 months August. To plan, like,
August.
Oh yeah, August, sorry.
So they're having a formal wedding.
It's very much part of our family. And what I was going to mention before, when you know, that there's a big house on Whidbey that they restored. And so we really wanted to have the wedding there because their dads are going to have a wedding there, and we hope that our two daughters have a wedding there.
And Mason.
Yes.
And I was getting to Mason. And so we all think that it'd be, we'll all have, be wet there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was rented out.
Oh, yeah. So
we couldn't work it in.
So you guys decided yesterday was the day. That was the first, got the license the 6th, got married on the 9th. Why not wait till August or June or July? Why yesterday?
We thought it would be really amazing to be a part of history. We could have had it any day.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday was this historical day, and it took on its own momentum, really. And we wanted to also have an opportunity to maybe be wed on air, but then our family, Mike couldn't be there. Mark could, who's his partner, could be there, but not Mike. And that just didn't feel right, to not have all of our family there.
And at first, when the law first passed, they were deciding my mom's wanted to have their wedding in June, but
July.
But they decided not to because they just said that they just couldn't wait any longer to be married. They'd wait 22 and a half years, and that was definitely long enough. So,
22 and a half years is a long, long time.
Long engagement.
A very long engagement. We've heard a lot in the last few weeks about long engagements and people finally tying the knot. Jennifer emails, my wife and I got married yesterday at City Hall. It didn't really hit me till I was saying goodbye to my wife's mother, and I realized she really was my mother-in-law. They always called her my mother-in-love because even though my wife and I had a ceremony 7 years ago, we didn't have a legal marriage. That was the moment when I realized it was really different and I could say we were legal.
Oh, so,
I like the mother in love. That's sweet.
Yeah. So our Michelle's cousin, Sarah, was there with us all yesterday. And then when I was emailing her this week, I felt like I could write Cuz Sarah and not feel like I was sort of cheating, even though it had been 22 and a half years. And that's what family is. When I grew up, my aunts and uncles, I never knew which one was my mom, was related by blood and which one wasn't. It's just all family. And so it just made me happy.
So, Tova and Zoe, either of you, your whole lives, this is your family.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it different for you now?
Well, I'd say that at school, a lot of times you'll say, or anywhere really, you'll say your mom and your dad, but I don't really have a mom and a dad. And sometimes, especially when I was younger, it might have been harder for me to just, like, speak up and say, you know, I have two moms and two dads, but now I'm really proud of that fact. So I'm just lucky because instead of having two parents, I get to have four, and that my parents are a part of history. So I think that it's great, and I cannot imagine it any other way.
And it was really exciting. So I posted it on Facebook.
Oh, did
and
you?
So then like 30 more people were coming to the wedding. And it was really fun, and I announced it to my whole dance class because I've just been always so excited that I'm special because I never wanted to be the same as everybody else. I kind of wanted to stick out because that's pretty much how my family is. And everybody loves them, so.
we're talking to the Swartz Ireland family. Zoe and Tova are here skipping school. I guess that makes it a honeymoon. Their moms got married yesterday, and their moms are Kia and Michelle Swartz Ireland. And we're curious if you got married or maybe you got your wedding license and you're planning something big. I have friends that want to have a giant DJ party. So there's a lot to come in Washington State. We'd love to hear your story. Our phone number is 206-543-KUOW, 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869, or you can email us weekday@kuow.org. There were judges, there were family members there, but there were a lot of other people there. And after the ceremony, you exited to a cheering crowd. And I understand that a lot of these people nobody they knew necessarily was getting married, that these were just folks who also, like Tova and Zoe, wanted to be part of history.
It's just crazy. I mean, there was hundreds of people standing on both sides of the stairway.
Just throwing rice and rose petals and stuff.
Rose petals and handing you flowers. And we did have a family of four that we knew that...
Yeah, the Murrays.
The Murray family that were there. And we were like, oh, my God. And we got to hug them.
Did you know they were going to be there?
Well, we thought they were going to be in the service with us. But I think they didn't know where to go, which entrance. So they couldn't make it in. So that was really cool.
And we walked out. Our family walked out around 1:15, and we had realized they had been waiting there since like 11:20. And it was really great because they didn't just cheer the first time we walked out, but all the way down the staircase, everyone was just cheering and congratulating us. And we didn't even know all the people, but everyone was just so happy.
Well, I think a lot of the people that came didn't know anybody particularly. They just wanted to come. Nick says, yesterday was one of those days when I really feel like government and the legal system can and do amazing things. I love hearing the stories. We'd love to hear your stories. 206-543-5869. Celia from Finney Ridge, you were there at City Hall, yes?
I was. My husband and I wanted to take our two kids, who are 4 and 1.5, to experience this part of history. I mean, this has been the biggest civil rights issue of my generation. I'm 35 years old, so I wasn't around for the original civil rights movement, but it was really important for us to be there and to support everyone who was walking down those stairs and the families, and we really wanted our kids to be a part of that.
So you knew nobody, you just went.
We didn't. Well, it actually turns out that we did see a couple people that we did know, but we were not going to attend a wedding or because we knew anyone that was getting married. For all we know, there were some of our friends who were getting married that day, but we just wanted to go and also show that the community supported people who were getting married and all those families and just be part of the fun. It was really wonderful.
Was there anything surprising, Celia?
You know, not so much surprising as much, but to me what was most touching is the families that came out with their kids, and it's possible that we saw the family that you were just interviewing walk down and at one point I remember a family coming down, two women, and they had their two sons with them, and one of them was just so excited and waving at everybody and cheering, and the other one was just in tears, and as I was, and I am getting teary now just thinking about it, but I could just see in their faces just how wonderful that must be, that after all this time and this family that they've built together, and just to come out and say, this is it, we're legal now, and to have the whole community supporting them. I was really touched by that.
Well, thanks for sharing that story, Celia. Really lovely. It's part of history, not taking part like the Swartz Ireland family was, but taking part by being there. We're curious if you were there getting married, if you were there standing up for friends, because, as I mentioned, Cousin Sarah is actually a host and newscaster and reporter at KUOW, Sarah Lerner. So that's where the tape came from. So thank you, Sarah, for both participating and doing her job at the same time. Who knows? We'd love your stories. 206-543-5869. 206-543-5869. Maybe you weren't in Seattle, which was sort of Love Central yesterday. I know that in other parts of the state where Referendum 74 maybe didn't have as much support, people were still getting married. There were home weddings, restaurant weddings, things that, you know, maybe not every place threw open City Hall and brought in all the judges to marry folks. But we'd love to hear those stories as well. Bruce joins us from Wallingford. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. Hey, I don't have a story, but Key and Michelle, it's Bruce. Congratulations.
Bruce Ozinga, thank you.
Hey.
Let's go play tennis.
We were at Tova, congratulations, too.
We were at Bruce's wedding. I was stood up for Bruce in his wedding. So that was actually 1 year after I met Michelle. We love you, Bruce. I miss you.
Love you, too. Hopefully I can see you soon. You guys were at my wedding 20-some years ago.
That's right. I mentioned you last night. I said, I remember at the wedding, we were all sitting in your cabin, and you fell asleep. And I thought, how could he fall asleep on his wedding, you know, on this wedding day? And as I was about to fall asleep on my wedding day, and I realized how come you were about to fall asleep.
Pretty exhausting, huh?
Yeah.
Right. It's the end of a long, long trip.
Well,
anyway,
Bruce, thanks.
I'm so glad you guys get to do it.
We love you.
Thanks very much for your call. So it's kind of like a virtual reception here on the air. We're curious if you got married, if you attended a wedding in Seattle or any place in Washington State. Laura, you got married yesterday, I understand. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Tell us why you decided to get married yesterday.
Well, we decided to get married because it was a huge event, and to take part in the first day that we could get married was pretty special. My partner and I have been, well, my wife and I have been together for 17 years, and we have two kids, and we've bought houses and sold houses and traveled and seen parents pass away and done all those things that couples do, and this just seemed like a good time to do this other thing that most couples get to do at the beginning of the relationship.
Hey, Laura, you mentioned a partner. You had to stumble over that word, wife.
Right.
Is it going to be hard to, and I'm asking Kia and Michelle as well, hard to change the way you refer to one another?
I'm so excited to not say partner. It feels like we say it to each other. We say wife, and my mom and her family calls us that. But it felt like I didn't own wife before yesterday because we hadn't gone through a ceremony, and we actually are planning to have a wedding in August, as I think they had said the dads are having a wedding
right.
in August.
Right.
But, you know, it's like I never really owned it because I hadn't done that thing in my mind since childhood meant wife or husband or whatever you wanted to call it. But to me, like, wife is significant. That's just how I grew up in my head, and I had decided it wasn't going to be mine. And then in the last few years, when everything started to shift, I just started considering it, that it could be mine. And now it is.
Well, congratulations, and thanks for sharing that story, Laura.
Thank you.
Appreciate your calling in. 206-543-5869 or weekday at KUOW.org. John says, we were married at City Hall yesterday after 42 years together.
Wow.
We were married in Portland in 2004, but that was for practice. While we were signing documents before the ceremony, my wonderful husband said, I don't feel teary at all, do you? We agreed we didn't, but as the judge read our vows, he struggled to keep the tears from flowing. And it's one of the many reasons I love this man. Thanks to the wonderful Seattle official who made this happen. A lot of stories to share this hour. The Swartz Ireland family is with us. Michelle, Kia, Tova, and Zoe. And we go now to Woodinville, where Carlin's on the line. Hi. Carlin?
Hi. Hey, guys. This is Carlin Shieldson. I'm Tova. And I was at their party yesterday, and it was so great to be there. And I just want to congratulate them because this is such a big event in history. And I feel that this is going to really change things in the world, and maybe there will be more peace.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Parlin.
Thank you, Parlin.
Well, wow.
Bye.
Bye.
I love you. Bye, Parlin.
Thanks for calling. A friend of yours. Okay. Well, did you guys have a giant party after the wedding?
Yeah.
Yes. At our house.
At your house.
Which was so wonderful.
Oh, good. Casey's in Redmond. Hi. Thanks for joining us, Casey.
Oh, gosh. These are such impossible acts to follow. I'm actually, I'm tearing up as I'm even hearing any of these stories. My wife and I have wanted, marriage equality and supported it for so many years now. And to finally see our beloved state of Washington get it right. After seeing so many disappointments, New Jersey. I mean, who would have guessed we beat out New Jersey and California and all these other places? Yeah. But what we're really, we were just, I had a friend who was visiting me from San Francisco, and he said, I just don't get it. Where did you guys go right? And I guess it just takes a lot of effort and time, but I'm just so glad we can be here now to support our friends. You now get to just be like everybody else with the rights they always should have had. I don't want to say any more because I don't want to take anything away from the wonderful stories I'm hearing all day, and I just want to keep listening. And it just was such a wonderfully moving weekend, and I want to wish a big mazel tov to everybody out there who finally got to just have the rights they always deserve.
Thanks for calling. That's Casey in Redmond. We're talking about yesterday's historic first day that same-sex couples could wed in Washington State at City Hall. The Swartz Ireland's Kia and Michelle were among 138 couples. That's what the city tweeted out. So we'll say about 140. But the city of Seattle was tweeting about gay weddings. So it was love was in the air yesterday. We are crying tears of joy for you, Mazel Tov, says the rabbi's singer to you two. So.
Oh, Rabbi, can I say one thing about...
Sure.
That's Rabbi Beth and Rabbi Jonathan, who are such wonderful human beings. But we got married under the chuppah yesterday. It was a quilt my mom made. And all three of our children held it up with all of their good friends who are like our children. And who would want to wait but that we got to be married being... supported by all our children and our children's friends. It was my favorite part of it, quite honestly.
We're talking about weddings, something that we think of in June, and maybe from now on we're always going to think December is the time for weddings, at least in Washington State. Helen, you were at City Hall yesterday. Were you getting married or were you witnessing? What were you doing?
My six-year-old daughter and I were on the City Hall steps cheering on the brides and grooms as they exited after their weddings, and it was the happiest place in Seattle.
Had you planned to go down to City Hall in advance?
I had. When gay marriage became legal and when the city of Seattle said that they would be doing weddings on Sunday, I wrote it down on my calendar, and we went out to brunch and went straight to the City Hall steps, and it was a delight to be there with people of all ages. There were many families out there. And it was fun to think that the people of Washington State had done this for all of us and that our children who are too young to vote could see democracy in action and see the world change.
Helen, I asked Celia this question. I'll ask you as well. Was there anything that surprised you?
How many of us were there? How many families were there? Was really, that was the most exciting to me. I didn't know who would be on the steps with us.
How many people would you say were there?
300 easily.
Easily. So
easily. And that was before all the press.
Wow. I know. Well, the press were only allowed to watch the first wave of weddings, and then I think they were booted out of City Hall to make room for the families. But, well, thank you for sharing that story, Helen. Really appreciate it. We're talking about yesterday's historic Day of Marriage in Washington State. And here in Seattle, Seattle City Hall was transformed into five chapels of love. I think it was five, right? And Kia and Michelle Swartz Ireland, who've been together for 22 years, made it legal this time for permanent as opposed to the Oregon wedding, which was practices. Somebody emailed in. Our email address is weekday@kuow.org or 206-543-KUOW. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hey, Michelle and Kia, this is Don from Don and Pete, and congratulations. We're so excited about your wedding, and ironically, Mark is marrying us in August.
And Mark is one of Zoe and Tova's dads, right?
Reverend
Mark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Travis.
Don, can I ask why you didn't decide to get married yesterday?
We want a kind of a larger wedding that takes more time and planning. And we wanted to be able to participate in other people's weddings yesterday. So, we wanted to do it all.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And thank you guys so much. Thanks for calling, Don.
Yeah, it was so cool when we saw you on Bainbridge and you were just planning with Papa.
Thanks so much for that call. Will says, listening to the stories makes me think what a great day for family values. Gerald says, I hope you all realize that, and I know you did, that your wedding was the first day of Hanukkah. So every year you're going to have two anniversaries, the usual one. And I guess Hanukkah is now going to be your anniversary. So how will you celebrate it differently?
Well, if I could back up, July 6th has always been our anniversary. So that's when we were going to plan to have our wedding, because like we've always celebrated that day, but that we couldn't do it. And then we thought, well, let's ride the historical train.
Well, so are you going to have three anniversaries then? You're going to have the 6th and Hanukkah?
Well, we have, December's our big month. Michelle and Tove have a birthday. We have Hanukkah. We had Christmas. And now we have our anniversary, which is as it should be.
And then, of course, New Year's Eve.
Yes. And when I sent out our email about this, because this is a very modern wedding invitation, we sent it on Tuesday. I said, you know, I really celebrated that. Sometimes I get frustrated how complex this month is, and I just felt like it was a sign that this is a month of celebration, and to get married in, you know, in a time of that we celebrate light is just, it seems like a great gift. So I feel like it was no mistake.
And it's also, I wanted to say that the wedding was December 9th, which is exactly 10 days before mine and Mom Michelle's birthday. So that's pretty.
That's cool, too.
Cool, yeah.
And it's just so cool because I get to tell, like, all my friends at school about this. It's just so exciting. And, like, everybody at school, and they're like, oh, yeah, my mom and dad are going to, or blah, 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 and something. But I'm just so excited because to tell them, yes, my mom's and my dad's are getting married.
Finally.
We have a good friend, Wendy, and here's what she said to me. She said that you want to get married 22 years after being together is the most amazing part of all this to me.
Well, congratulations to the entire family, because clearly it was more than two of you taking vows yesterday. Longtime partners, newlyweds, legally wed, Kian Michelle Swartz Ireland and Tova and Zoe. Thank you all four of us for joining us, and thank you all for your stories. And I'm sorry we couldn't get to all these calls. This is 94.9 KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
Coming up next, we'll consider what the three Abrahamic faiths say about homosexuality and whether those teachings actually make sense in a modern context. Stay tuned.
Support for KUOW comes from the merchants at SeaTac Airport, including Alaska Lodge on Concourse D, featuring sandwiches, burgers, and a selection of Northwest microbrews. Information on SeaTac Merchants Mileage Plan participation at SeaTacShops.com.
In this day of digital music, does it even matter what order you listen to an album in?
So if you really want to make that first impression, you data seem to suggest that you should probably put your best stuff early on and really grab people as quickly as you can.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the importance of the playlist. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM.
That story and much more coming up tonight at 6:30. This is 94.9 KUOW Seattle, news and information. Good morning, it's 9:42. I'm Andy Hurst.
Support for KUOW comes from TIAA CREF, helping people pursue their financial goals. Learn more at tiaacref.org/WA.
We've been hearing stories from same-sex couples who got married yesterday, and as you know, same-sex marriage became legal with the approval of Referendum 74. Leading up to the vote, certain religious teachings were used to condemn that idea, and that added a lot of tension to what was going on. And so we wanted to take a look at why there were those tensions and what the three Abrahamic faiths actually say about homosexuality, and ask the question, do those teachings make sense in a modern context? And so we throw it to Katie Sewell, who spends a lot of time thinking about theology.
Right. And we invited the Interfaith Amigos to talk to us about this issue. They are Imam Jamal Rotman, Rabbi Ted Falcon, and Pastor Don McKenzie. I spoke with them and asked them to give us a basic outline of their individual religions and what they actually say about homosexuality.
Well, traditionally, Christian people have viewed homosexuality as not only unnatural and sinful, but something to be feared. And so much of the teachings that Christian people have had as part of the Christian culture are rooted in that. And there are some scripture readings that are often cited as evidence of the need to be fearful and so forth. One, for example, Jesus is asked about a marriage, and it turns out the question is really about divorce, but that is omitted. And in his culture, in his time, any question about divorce would have to do with a marriage of a man and a woman. So that, but the response that he gives is used to underline the fact that marriage should be between a man and a woman. So it's not. I mean, it makes sense for that time, but it doesn't make sense for us now. So, so Jesus, drawing on his Jewish tradition and his culture, talks about the need for people to respect the essential dignity and integrity of all human beings, but never speaks directly about homosexuality. The Apostle Paul has some comments about it, and there's some other comments. But basically, as I said, the Christian view of homosexuality has been that it is sinful, that it's not natural, and it's to be feared.
All right. Moving down to you, Ted.
Jewish tradition begins with the notion of marriage being between a man and a woman. The purpose of marriage is procreation. There's no doubt about that. The earliest reference to the first man and the first woman, you know, called Adam and Eve. Therefore, people should leave their own families and come together as a unit. There is nothing in the Bible that indicates that there was any recognition of any other kind of marriage. There are some indications in the Bible that there were that homosexuality was a reality, or else there would have been no statement condemning it. A man should not lie with another man like a man would lie with a woman. A statement in the book of Leviticus would not have appeared had that not been, you know, some kind of practice in evidence. However, the prime directive in those days was the growth of the tribe. So any sexual activity that was not aimed at procreation would be seen as abhorrent and would be condemned. Through the ages, feelings and sensitivities and sensibilities started changing, and certainly in my lifetime, I've witnessed a radical shift where religious authorities begin to acknowledge that homosexuality is not an unnatural act, not an unnatural identity, but a minority identity, and it's not choice. It's how we're wired. And we realize even in the animal kingdom that same-sex relationships are in evidence in every species. So it is a minority, but it is natural.
All right. How about you, Jamal?
You know, in Islam, the wisdom and guidance is primarily derived from the Quran, which is the holy book of the Muslims. And in the Quran, there are several verses spread out which talks about Prophet Lut. You say Lot, I think, in your traditions. Lot. And in Islam, a lot, and we say Lut, and we say Prophet Lut. In the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, where in this extraordinarily, I would say, weird story, in all our traditions, the men of that particular towns, they attack traveling visitors and sodomize them. So based on those handful of verses, there are insights like this is an abomination. You're preferring men to women in your lust. You are transgressing beyond limits. They're Quranic verses. So essentially from that, ideas have been formed about homosexuality as being an abomination. Now, the most telling point is that Muslim homosexuals, as I've talked to them, they say that they agree. It is an abomination. And these verses are referring not to consensual love and tenderness between homosexuals, but to male assault, violence, and rape. But of course, in Islam, marriage is very sacred. Prophet Muhammad said marriage is half of religion. And the Quran says that the wonderful verses about the sanctity, the beauty, the exquisite relationship between man and women. God has created mates from among you, and he has put love in your heart so you may dwell in tranquility with them. But homosexuals say they also believe that. The only thing is they want to live in tenderness, in that beautiful relationship, in the same sex orientation. It's a very difficult subject for Muslims. And if I want to quote Prophet Muhammad, I would say many of us are stuck in knowledge of the tongue, and we haven't moved to a knowledge of the heart.
And what does that mean? Can you break that down?
I would say that's having an experiential understanding. So, for example, in my case, I had similar views, meaning I know very little about homosexuality, but I have very strong opinions about it. Until I met Muslim families who've had children who were gay. And of course, my first impulse was to change them and use all my techniques in putting them on the right path. And in the process, I had a knowledge of the heart. In anguish, for example, I remember one particular man saying, he'd call me uncle. Uncle, do you think I want to be gay? My mother wants to commit suicide. My father wants to leave the state. I am like this. And eventually when the parents told me, they believed that this is really something he's been born with, that something shifted in me, I had greater knowledge about it.
We're speaking with the Interfaith Amigos, Pastor Don McKenzie, Rabbi Ted Falcon, and who you just heard, Imam Jamal Rahman, about homosexuality and what is said about it in the Abrahamic faiths. And so we're looking at a very ancient text in all of these religions that goes back, you know, thousands of years. And we have situations in our modern day where people are literally taking those words as this is exactly what happened historically and this is what needs to be followed. What do you think of those sort of literal translations of the Bible and how it's used when it's fighting these fights against legalization of marriage or other homosexual issues?
In Jewish tradition, the texts have always been interpreted. My experience is that the interpretations will reflect the belief of the person who's doing the interpreting. So those people who are already opposed to homosexuality will interpret those verses very literally. Others will look, for example, at a verse that says, you shall not lie with a man like you lie with a woman, and say, well, you can't. The geography is different. One literally can't take that literally. You know, that one has to look at the context. And certainly the way sodomite and sodomization, sodomize, is used is much more of a violent act than a loving sexual act. In our day, all the major Jewish organizations, Reform, Reconstructionist, Conservative, Renewal, are supporting homosexuals as their members, as their rabbis, as their cantors, and supporting gay marriage. The only holdouts are the Orthodox and the ultra-Orthodox, and in a way that can be expected. They're the same groups that are against ordaining women as rabbis. They're the same groups that are clinging to a much more literal understanding, fearing that all of tradition will be lost unless everything is kept very securely locked in.
Well, at least in our country, it's often the Christians that are pointed to as being the most literal and condemning in how they act. What's your response?
In the case of these verses that we've been talking about, because fear is such a big part of the culture when it comes to homosexuality, people look for verses to support something that opposes homosexuality, ignoring, as I said before, the kinds of teachings from Jesus that point to the importance of supporting and having compassion for the essential dignity and integrity of every human being, the full humanity of every person. And so those two things then become conflicting things. And the question is, what do you look to from Jesus to interpret homosexuality? And I look to his teachings about you know, supporting the full humanity of every human being. And today, now that we know that homosexuality is natural, it's not prevalent, but it's natural, I think that it won't be long before the entire world will say, what were they afraid of? Because it doesn't pose a threat. In fact, it really supports the actual diversity of humanity in ways that are interesting and can actually contribute vitality to the culture rather than being a source of fear.
Well, it does bring up the question that since these texts were compiled over a period of time to reflect a culture that was going on in that period of time, how much do these texts actually apply to modern day? What do you think, Jamal?
You know, I actually have a lot of hope. In the Islamic world, progress in this issue, I would say, is slow. The reason I hope is you can also look in the Quran into other verses that could help you. For example, there are several verses in the Quran that says God has deliberately created diversity for one primary reason, so you might get to know the other. There was a very wonderful article in the New York Times by this writer, Robert Wright, a couple of years ago, and the heading was Islamophobia and Homophobia. He said they both have the same root, that one hasn't gotten to know the other on a human and personal level. So I think when Muslims begin to truly, on a human level, get to know a person who is gay, then that understanding will shift. In the same article, there's a wonderful line that says, the meaning of scripture is shaped by social relations. Most of the Muslims I talk to who are very sternly against homosexuality, if I ask them, do you know anyone personally who is gay? Absolutely not. It's something perverse. The other reason I'm very hopeful is Islam lays in the Quran a lot of emphasis on knowledge. The most used word in the Quran is Allah, 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 Allah. But the second most used word is ilm, which means knowledge. And the Quran says a most beautiful prayer is, oh God, increase me in knowledge. So I'm hopeful with increased knowledge, especially knowledge of the heart, views will change.
Does it take people actually knowing somebody who is gay to make that connection, to shift their point of view? Or can we get to a spot where we intellectually decide that it's okay?
I would say one of the best ways is to have that experiential understanding by connecting on a human level with somebody who is different. We find this in the area of polarization of politics, of culture, religion. In this case, somebody who is different, somebody is homosexual. Now, there's another verse in the Quran I want to point to very quickly. Is there's a verse that says, little by little. Progress comes little by little. The Quran's verses came over 23 years, little by little. In the 7th century, there's no verse in the Quran that says that we must abolish slavery. It discourages slavery. It says one of the highest acts of charity is to free a slave from bondage. That's because that was the prevailing culture at that time. And the Quran wisely does not abolish it with one single revelation. Gives us to grow in consciousness individually and collectively. This will happen in the Islamic world little by little.
What do you think, Don? Do you think it's something that people have to personally know somebody else, or can they learn?
I think that when you get to know someone, for example, I've had the experience of finding out that people I've known for a long time are gay or lesbian or bisexual, transgender, whatever. And when you have that kind of revelation, you suddenly, or not suddenly, but you begin to realize that homosexuality is natural, giving them access to the institution of marriage where one can make a commitment actually will strengthen the institution of marriage.
Ted, do you have a final word?
I essentially would agree. You know, it's like when we were in the civil rights drama, and some of that conflict actually still exists. It's one thing to intellectually know that we are equal. It's one thing to intellectually know that all people should have access to human services and human rights. But something else happens when we come together and learn about each other and form relationships. And that's far deeper than an intellectual understanding or an understanding in principle. We think that one of the places we have to really urge people to start in all areas of deep polarization and conflict is to create contexts in which we can meet each other as human beings, and on that ground confront some of the serious issues that we need to look at and we need to solve and we need to heal.
Rabbi Ted Falcon, Imam Jamal Rahman, and Pastor Don McKenzie, the Interfaith Amigos, spoke with Katie Sewell. And now, the sound of the day. That's 16-month-old Rosie sleeping, as heard through the baby monitor on weekday listener Carrie's desk. Carrie says she finds the sound very soothing. She knows her daughter's sleeping peacefully upstairs while Carrie catches up on emails and projects for consulting jobs. Of course, once Rosie wakes up again, the laptop closes and Carrie's off to keep up with her active toddler. What interesting sounds are you hearing? Record 30 seconds and send it to us along with the story behind the sound. Email it to weekday at kuow.org. Sound of the day should be in your subject line. Coming up, we're going to hear about Attorney General Rob McKenna's decision to settle with Backpage.com. Rob McKenna joins us. We're also going to talk with Calvin.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at kuow.org.